One day recently, I was in this space and I was looking out at the view that you have right now. And as we're coming to the Sunday on gentleness, a lot of times in scripture, people think about the lamb. The lamb, it has many varieties of imagery, always resembling Jesus. But I was here recently and I was looking across at this panoramic view of the greenery, and someone at the park just behind these trees must have had the biggest, most beautiful white dog, or at least the size of a dog that looked like a lamb. And it, I don't know if that's the preacher in me or if that really would have looked like a lamb, but it was just one, and I saw it like through the trees. And it just felt like the most gentle image I had seen in Plano, Texas, when there's a Target like a mile this way and a Cinemark and everything else you could want in Plano. And yet for a second, the scene was almost out of what, Revelation? Or out of the Gospels, or something where it was just like this beautiful white lamb. And today we're at our second to last fruit of the fruit of the Spirit already. We're at gentleness. And I thought, you know, as I laid out the different varieties of the fruit, certain ones, especially from a preacher perspective, you think might be, let's say, easier or more difficult. And it's only because there's so many directions you can go any given Sunday. That's just the nature of it. But when it comes to gentleness, it was one of the most direct of the fruit of the Spirit, I thought. It was so direct because in the Gospels, specifically Matthew, we hear it, and it's only really referenced gentleness 20 times throughout the New Testament. But most of them are in Matthew. The first time we hear it is the very famous Beatitudes, Matthew 5, and it says this. Jesus said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth." Underneath that, meek is gentle. And today what I want us to pull apart are those two words, in fact. Meek and gentleness. Sometimes we chalk gentleness up to being a wallflower or soft-spoken or meek. Limp or tame or anything but what it actually is, which is strength. And we're going to talk about that today because gentleness comes from a place and a posture of true strength. When you really break it down and look at the way that not only you see people around you in your everyday life, or you see situations, and definitely Jesus, think about it with me. Gentleness under the circumstance of strength appropriately wielded. Power appropriately under control. Gentleness. Sometimes it's associated with words like tenderness or restraint. Mild, gentle. But really, gentleness, to be able to exhibit gentleness, it's so much more of a character trait than it really is a circumstantial thing. We talk a lot about the phrase gentle giant. Have you guys heard that phrase? Yeah, it's used often, gentle giant. And that led me to my important sermon research, which was reading an article about a college football player at K-State, Kansas State, okay? Stay with me. So this guy, Cooper Beebe, which you might recognize his name because in the 2024 NFL draft, he was drafted to our very own Dallas Cowboys. But in 2023, an article came out about Cooper Beebe. Now, Cooper is 6'4", 335, offensive lineman, a giant, strong as they come. And in this K-State article, they basically just rave about his ability on the field as soon as he can tackle to the turf. What Cooper does is not what everyone else does. Cooper turns around and puts his hand out. Almost every time. And so they interviewed Cooper, they interviewed his mom, and they create this article, and the article is called The Gentle Giant. And they interviewed his mom. She said, "I have four kids. Cooper is third in line, and Cooper is by far my most gentle child. Always has been. If you were to say to me that he would become the center for the 2024 Dallas Cowboys, I would say, that's him on the field," she said. "But at home, in his everyday life, and even somewhat on the field, reaching a hand out. Gentleness. Cooper is the epitome visually of strength. He can make any play, he could do whatever he wants, and he has this inherent, because of his strength and size, a sort of power. And the way Cooper uses it is so specific. He's so intentional about it. And so I got to thinking, because we can see that type of a gentle giant every day, it's much more abstract sometimes when I think we lift up Jesus and we all try and revisit first century Israel and picture a scenario that Jesus is in. Why not start with Cooper Beebe? But it said, the meek. Would anyone call Cooper meek? Have y'all seen him play? Have you seen him in the tackle right before the hand goes out? I don't think anyone would call that meek. He is strong, but yet in just the appropriate way. Our more broad scripture, I'll call it, comes from Matthew 21, and that's where we'll be most of today. So you and I, we're going to revisit, even though it's November, all the way back to Palm Sunday. If you're not familiar with Palm Sunday, that is the Sunday right before Easter. It is the signpost before Holy Week. It is a day that is very well known in the church for the header that it gives us in Matthew 21. It reads, Jesus comes to Jerusalem as king. And it reads this. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie both of them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say, the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away. This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. Say to daughter Zion, the prophet says, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. And the disciples went, and they did just as Jesus instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt. They put their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on, and he did. A very large crowd then began to spread the cloaks on the road, and while others cut down branches from the palms, they spread them on the road. And the crowds that went ahead of him shouted, Hosanna! Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, who is this? The crowds replied, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. There's a lot in there. There was a large story for just one word, but did you hear it? The gentle. It said that a prophet long ago, far away. That's kind of how we tend to think about prophets, right? In the first half of the book, that's maybe how some of you think of it. Way back then, a man named Zechariah comes with a message. That's a prophet's job. A prophet is to go ahead of the people and to reveal what God has shown them and say, go this way, not that. Mainly, a prophet is supposed to say, if you go this way, it won't go well with you. But if you go this way, it will go well with you. That's the framework that they give it. And so this guy, Zechariah, in the 9th chapter, in the 9th verse, he says, the king will come to Jerusalem. Get ready, the king will come. He will come and be gentle, riding on a donkey. Now, for those of us who don't spend every day thinking about first century Israel, let me refresh your memory. A donkey is not their primary Uber, we'll call it, okay? It's not their primary vehicle. Donkeys are not looked on upon with glamour and the red carpet, okay? That's not the vibe here. Really, rather, a king should have ridden in on a stallion, a beautiful white stallion, high up, riding in, maybe at a fast pace, with the crowds falling behind him. Are we together? Okay, that's how it should have been in their minds. They know their society, they know their culture. That's how kings should come. And much more, they should bring with them courts, people who will serve with them, who will serve under them. That's what they're expecting. And instead, they have the very man who will only be the server. He will be the washer of feet, the healer of disease, bringing sight to the blind and walk to the lame. He will be the one that instead he forgoes the stallion, he forgoes the red carpet for instead what? A carpet of cloaks and leaves. A donkey, one that's already been prepared for him. And he gets on it. And as I was telling the root, the Bible study that I teach at 9:30, we talked just a touch about this. What Jesus has in that moment, the power he has, one of them is the power of eye contact. Think about that. When Jesus rides in on a donkey, he is right here, eye to eye with each passerby. It is no stallion looking down on everyone. It is no someone being led with people preparing the way. Instead, he's pushing through the crowds just as one of them. On an everyday, a mule, a donkey. And as he goes by, they shout something. They shout this word, Hosanna. It means, God save us. And they don't just say it like I just said. They don't just say, God save us. They say it like, God save us. Hosanna. Somebody change something going on. Somebody save us. That's the way this goes. And as Jesus rides in and they have these strong proclamations of exactly who he is, God. He's not just any other Messiah. A Messiah was meant to be a ruler or a place of authority or a king. He's not just a Messiah, y'all. He is God and the Messiah. And when he rides in, they get it. And they shout it, they sing it, an anthem, God save us. And as he rides down on trodden cloaks that people have taken literally off their own back to then praise him as he enters in, we are told that he rides in gently. Is this a timid and a meek person? Is this someone without any ability to affect change, strength, or power? This is God. And they say he rides in gently. Think about that. The same God that created the cosmos, the same God that is the lamb. When the lion and the lamb lay down together, that's the vision of the new heavens and the new earth. When strength and gentleness completely collide in the most beautiful pairing, that's our future. That's the goal. And anything less than that is less than that. We say, what do we hope for? What do we hope for as Christians? Why do we show up here instead of anything else we could be doing? I had someone come into my office this week and remind me, it was very humbling, that church on Sundays, if one was to come to church every single Sunday to this service, let's call it, 1 hour, I am with you 52 hours a year. 52 hours a year. I know some of us work more than 52 hours a week. And we're only together 52 hours out of 12 months. That means every time we're together, it's not like what the rest of the world is offering, y'all. It can't be. We don't have time for it to be like everything else. That's Paul's message, basically. As he's going throughout, he says to be transformed by the renewing of your minds. And one of the things that pivots that, the renewing of our minds, is putting on the fruit of the Spirit. It's putting it on in a new way. And so you think about gentleness. Maybe you know a gentle giant in your life, but aside from that, we all have a relationship with someone. Many someones, usually. Coworkers, friends, family, spouse, kids, parents, grandparents, the list goes on. Could you think of a relationship where you go, that person, they are marked by gentleness? Man, they really have it, and maybe they are, and you have always admired something about them, but you just haven't known what that was yet. And you think to yourself, what's with that person? Gosh, they have the power to spread the gossip that they know and they don't. What's up with that person? They have the power to tackle that other player and walk away. And their hands going out, reaching down to lift them up. What's up with that person? Fill in the blank that you know. I know you know someone who is marked by gentleness. But what's more is think about what would someone say about you or me? How would someone reflect us? If someone else was sitting in this message right now, in this worship service, and they think about you and they're hearing about gentleness, how are they feeling about it? I wonder. I wonder where we all are in our growth in that way. Because that's the charge of the fruit of the Spirit. We don't just follow along these topics because they make us feel all the warm, fuzzy, good things that church should feel and send us back out. They call us to transform, even in gentleness. Even in gentleness watching sports, even in gentleness at work with that one coworker, even in gentleness at family dinner, even in gentleness in the carpool line. The way the scripture models Jesus is far beyond what Zechariah prophesies. That's less what I'm concerned about, believe it or not. It's more that when the crowd shouted, verse 9, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." That same person is paired with this description, Philippians 2, verse 1 through 11. In your relationships, have the same mindset as Christ, who, being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing. By taking the very nature of a servant, he was made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself. By becoming obedient to death, yes, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess and acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. You can imagine when Paul was writing this, was probably a song, actually. We read it because we aren't sure. But this Christ hymn, this is probably creedal. This is probably a hymn. This is probably something they remembered. And when they met in house churches, they said, "Who do we worship? In very nature, God." And you can hear it. It has a rhythm. So it turns out the crowd on that day, that Palm Sunday, as Jesus rides in gently on a donkey, no less, it turns out they got it right. And then it turns out, a few days later on Friday, the same people who are shouting "Hosanna," sadly, are the same ones who are shouting "Crucify him." And so we live in the in-between. We can tend to be both of those, can't we? Find ourselves in both the "Hosanna" and the "Crucify him." The loyal and the unfaithful. The obedient and the disobedient. Because what we forget so often is that Jesus came in a new way. Jesus wasn't like the other kings that were supposed to come. We forget his identity and his position on the throne of our hearts. When they say they need a savior, this is the savior. Instead, he's a nomad. He doesn't live in a palace. He serves. He doesn't wait to be served on. He leads his way gently. And so this week, as you go about your week, keep an eye out. Maybe even make a sticky note. Those work well for me. Short and sweet. One relationship in which you can be a beacon of gentleness. And I'm not saying you have to give up your strength. I am not saying that. I'm not saying you have to give up your wisdom, your discernment, any of that. I'm saying to combine it with intense gentleness. Standing up for what's right, being faithful to the one and the only one who can save. Would you pray with me? Gracious God, we thank you for the blessing that are the fruits of the Spirit. We thank you for the way that you are showing us how to live more in a Christ-like, honest, authentic way. God, deep down, we love that you call us to transform. We know there is something in us that needs to be constantly refined. And we come to you at the feet of Jesus and we say, make it so. Build in me gentleness, Jesus. All this we pray in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.